The Phillies kick off a huge 10-game stretch on the winning side in San Diego. I'm John Stolness, and this is Up and In for Friday, June 24th, 2022. And you can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. We're going to talk about a huge stretch of games that the Phillies are getting ready to play here. They've already got one in the books, the first game of their series against the Padres last night, and I'll recap what happened in that game for you. But obviously their biggest test under Rob Thompson is coming up here over these next nine games. So we'll break down what's coming up, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the heroes from the Thursday night game against the Padres out west. Now, they entered their four-game series in San Diego against a red-hot Padres team that is battling the Dodgers for first place in the National League West, and they come in against the Padres facing their first real adversity under Rob Thompson. Thompson got off to a wicked fast start, but the Phillies lost three straight coming into this series against the Padres. They lost the final game of that five-game series against the Nationals, and you're not going to worry about that. I mean, you take the first four games of a five-game series. They just kind of ran out of gas there on Sunday. But it also looked like the tank was still empty on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week when they went to Texas to take on the Rangers. The offense completely dried up. Bryce Harper managed to get back into the starting lineup for the game on Wednesday, but his absence in the series finale against the Nationals on Sunday and then in the first game of the series against the Rangers on Tuesday was notable. And the middle of the lineup right now has been killing the offense. Now, actually, Nick Castellanos and JT Realmuto and Didi Gregorius, to a degree, have really been hurting the Phillies offense pretty much the entire season. But at the beginning of June, the bottom of the lineup, the Phillies daycare center, all those young guys were getting the job done. You had Matt Vierling coming through with big hits. Alec Bohm would come through with a couple of big hits here and there. Even Bryson Stott had a really hot streak where he had four homers in eight games or something like that. But then all of those guys at the bottom of the lineup started to go revert to the mean, essentially, and the middle of the lineup was not there to pick it up. And you can't just have Kyle Schwarber doing all of the offensive work. I mean, there has got to be more, and that wasn't there against the Rangers in that quick two-game series in which the Phillies got swept. So the Phillies come into a four-game series against San Diego, riding a three-game losing streak, and really you wonder, how do the Phillies respond? How do they react to this three-game losing streak? Under Joe Girardi and under Gabe Kapler over these last few years, we'd seen the Phillies get hot. And I think this recent hot streak at the beginning of June lasted longer, certainly seemed more sustained. But every team loses a few games in a row. It's the good teams are able to bounce back and respond and to beat some good teams. And so this is a real test, the really first true test for the Rob Thompson era facing adversity. He hasn't had to go through this before with this team. And we are going to get a really good look over these next 10 days. I don't think the season hinges on these next 10 games, but I think we are going to get a really good indication of where this team is going to go here in 2022 based on how they do over these next 10 games against three very good opponents. You got the Padres, the red-hot Braves. I mean, the Braves are red-hot, and they're coming to Philadelphia for a three-game series after the Phillies are done out west in San Diego. And then they have to host the red-hot Cardinals, who have a great offense. The pitching staff, not quite what you would expect from a Cardinals pitching staff, but they have a ton of position players who are doing awesome. You have the leading NL MVP candidate in Paul Goldschmidt, but you also got Nolan Arenado, who's doing really well, and Tommy Edman has been, according to Fangraphs, the best shortstop in baseball this year. And there's a number of other players on that team who are hitting well. So a Cardinals team that is battling the Brewers for first place in the National League Central, a big test coming up for the Phillies. I think this could define whether or not this Philly season is going to be different or whether it's going to be more of the same. 10 games that will tell us a lot about Rob Thompson and whether the manager change really will have an impact here in 2022. And we got our first answer on Thursday night. It didn't look good at the start. The Phillies had no hits through four innings against the best pitcher in the National League right now, Joe Musgrove. He hadn't given up more than two earned runs in any start this season. And in his previous six starts, he had pitched 40 innings and given up just five earned runs with two homers. He was mowing Phillies hitters down early in the game. However, the Phils jumped all over him in the fifth, and then in the The highlight of the game was the sixth inning when the Phillies put five up on the board and then coasted to a comfortable 6-2 win. One of the very few comfortable wins we've seen from this team, especially against a good team so far this season. June Kyle Schwarber once again continued to show up. The one guy in the lineup who has stayed healthy and contributed from start to finish this month launched a two-run shot to center field to give the Phillies a 3-1 lead in the sixth inning. Now, Schwarber has reached base in 24 straight games. It's the longest active streak in Major League Baseball. It is also the longest streak of his career. And the Phillies have been searching for an answer in the leadoff spot. In the month of June, as the leadoff man, Schwarber has been doing everything you could want from a leadoff hitter with an on-base percentage of .407 and now has 9 home runs this month while also hitting .280. Now, I will tell you, I wish we had another option in the leadoff spot because I would sure love to see Kyle Schwarber hitting 4th or 5th in this lineup, driving in guys in front of him instead of a lot of solo shots and two-run shots. But that's what you get when you're the leadoff hitter, and frankly, beggars can't be choosers right now as far as the leadoff man goes. So I think we'll take Schwarber and his .407 on-base percentage here in the month of June. Now, JT Realmuto, who along with Nick Castellanos has been struggling all season long at the plate. Neither guy has felt comfortable. Both players really have been actively hurting this team offensively. Both have come up numerous occasions with the bases loaded in no out, bases loaded in one out, and failed to do anything. Coming up small frequently this offseason, certainly when they signed Nick Castellanos to that free agent contract, thinking he was going to push the offense over the edge, no one thought he'd be the guy holding the offense back. But that is exactly what's happened. He's been the worst right fielder in baseball this year. When you look at the average offensive numbers and the far below average defense that he has provided out there, he cost the Phillies a number of runs in the Texas series, both at the plate and in the field. And then you've got JT Realmuto, who is still a pretty good defensive catcher, although his defense has slipped this year. A lot of mental mistakes, a lot of physical mistakes from Realmuto so far this season, and he has struggled tremendously at the plate. But he hit a monster three-run shot to the opposite field, a shocking three-run home run, really. It was shocking to see that ball go over the fence to make it 6-1 off of Joe Musgrove, a five-run sixth inning on him that no one saw coming. The Phillies really keying in on the curveball before the game, knowing that Musgrove was going to give them a steady diet of off-speed, so the Phillies took a lot of extended batting practice on the curveball machine heading into the game last night. You also have to look at Ranger Suarez, who turned in his finest performance of the season thus far. We got a little glimpse of 2021 Ranger Suarez there. 7 1/3 innings, 7 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts against a pretty good Padres lineup, but a lineup that was missing Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. Suarez has struggled against a number of teams this season, so it was great to see him pitch into the eighth inning, and for the Phillies bullpen, Sir Anthony Dominguez primarily finishing things off. Sir Anthony Dominguez, by the way, reached over 100 miles an hour on his four-seam fastball last night and was throwing some 99-mile-an-hour sinkers with run. I mean, goodness gracious. There are some teams that have 3 or 4 Sir Anthony Dominguez's in their bullpen that they can trot out in the 6th and 7th and 8th innings. The Phillies have one, but we're lucky to have the one. And I will freely admit, I was wrong about Sir Anthony Dominguez coming into the season. I didn't think he was somebody that you could count on. And as it turns out, he's the one guy you've been able to count on. So congratulations, Sir Anthony Dominguez. Hope he stays healthy and can keep it up. So a great win last night against the Padres. A quality win, a crisply played game, under 3 hours. And the Padres entered the series a pretty hot team at 44-27, battling the Dodgers for first place in the NL Central. So now as we look ahead, we're looking at the Braves after this four-game series is over, coming to Philadelphia. They are 41-30, 11 games over .500. They just keep winning. They have pulled to within 4 of the Mets in the National League East. The Phillies are 8 back of first place in the NL East. And the Cardinals are 40-32. They're 8 games over .500, tied with the Brewers in the NL Central. Now, the Phillies are battling all of these teams in the wild card race. So winning games against all of these teams helps with wild card tiebreak situations, but also just with the general record. When the Phillies beat these teams, they make up ground. And the Phillies sit 2.5 games out of the final wild card spot. You've got the Padres on top. They are 2.5 games up on Atlanta. Atlanta holds the second wild card spot by 1.5 games over the Brewers and Cardinals. The Brewers and Cardinals tied for first place in the NL Central, so obviously one of those teams would be a wild card team. One of those teams would be a division winner. And you've also got the San Francisco Giants ahead of the Phillies. Now, the Giants are on the outside looking in, and the Phillies are 2 games behind the Giants, 2.5 behind the Brewers and Cardinals, whichever one of those teams wouldn't finish in first place. But the Phillies are in the mix. They're right there. It doesn't seem like any of the teams behind the Phillies really have a shot at the wild card, so it seems like the Phillies are going to be battling the Padres, are going to be battling the Braves, are going to be battling one of the Cardinals and Brewers and the Giants for those 3 wild card spots. And if they continue to play well and make up some ground in these series coming up, that'll go a long way. The Phillies played well against the Brewers in Milwaukee earlier this season, so that definitely helped them as well. But this is a key 10-game stretch for the Phillies. If they can manage to make up ground and play well here in these 10 games, I think it's going to give fans a lot more confidence that they can believe in this team, that they can believe what they're seeing. But I did a little Twitter poll to get a sense from Phillies fans as to how they were feeling about this team and what they would do here over these next 10 games. And I gave 3 options. One option, that the Phillies would go 7-3 or better. So this is the optimistic look at what the Phillies will do over these next 10 games. I gave the option of the Phillies somewhere in the 500 range, 6-4, 6-4, 5-5, or 4-6. One of those 3 records. And then 3-7 or worse. So a pessimistic view. And fans, not surprisingly, I had got 270 votes on this. 59% of you said that you thought the Phillies would go somewhere between 4-6 and 6-4 in this 10-game stretch. And given their history, I think I can see that. 29% of you said that they would go 3-7 or worse. So 29% of you, 3-10, picked the pessimistic view. Only 12% of you thought the Phillies would go 7-3 or better. And I think that's fair. The Phillies have to earn your trust, right? They have to earn that. And they just haven't done so thus far this season. But they seem to be on a path to perhaps doing that. And they got off to a good start against the Padres here on Thursday night. So it also looked like it was that offense, you know, those multi-run homers can sure wake up a team, because they looked dead in the first 4 innings, even the first 5 innings of that game last night against Joe Musgrove, who is the leading candidate for National League Cy Young. All right, so like I mentioned, the Phillies have 3 more games in San Diego, and then they come home to face the Atlanta Braves and St. Louis Cardinals for 6 games, and we will be keeping track of all of this for you. I will be on vacation next week, so you will not hear me on Hit and Season, but I'm sure Justin and Liz and Chris and Trev will keep you updated on everything going on with the Phils, so I'll talk back to you when I get back from vacation next weekend. But hopefully by then, the Phillies will have continued their winning ways, and they'll have swept a 3-game series from the Braves next week in Philadelphia. So fingers crossed on all of that. That'll do it for this edition of Up and In. We'll talk to you next time here on Up and In.